Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read 1 through 22 if I still have my voice by the time we get through there. We'll see what happens. Okay. Let's do this first. Yeah, that's the truth. This world's going downhill. Laodicea Hill there. There. That's all right. Everything's going to go downhill until he comes back anyway. So, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. If you got any Southern Baptists in you, I hope you don't have by the time we get through tonight, because we're going to look at this and rightly divide, amen? Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, that is bad downhill. I think I'll redo that. Man. So we're supposed to study and rightly divide. Is that better? We're supposed to study and rightly divide. And it's a big deal because it says so you can be approved unto God. You know, say, well, you know, you people think this, you people think that. You think that. Well, it says if you're going to be approved to God, it doesn't matter what we think of each other as much as what God thinks of us. And he tells us if we're going to be right with him, we're going to rightly divide his word. And there's a problem with that anymore because most people don't even care. They just want what they want out of it, and they don't care what it really says. But Matthew chapter 5 is, don't get me wrong, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the whole Word of God is for us, but it's not all written to us. This is not doctrinally the church age, and there are a lot of churches out there, probably two-thirds of the churches or more, and probably half the Baptist churches, they get their, what they call their Bible doctrine out of the early book of Matthew, and they try to apply it and say, well, this is us. We got a lot of problems if this is us. I mean, we got a lot of problems, but we've got some major problems with what the Word says and what we're doing if this is actually us, and it's not. Let's read down through here a ways. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Remember, this is Jesus Christ saying this. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shalt kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Okay. I wish we could apply some of this to church age. I think folks would straighten out. Amen. There wouldn't be a bunch of messed up Baptists trying to go the wrong way and treat each other better. But there'd be like half the Baptist, probably a tenth of the Baptist churches that there are now, if we could actually apply this doctrinally and say, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't straighten up. Like the blood preacher said, I wish I could tell people they'd lose their salvation so they'd straighten up. Yeah. Amen. But the truth is, we're supposed to straighten up because we love him and what he's done for us. Amen. But this, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at all these different things, and they've tried to apply it to the church age. Well, that's not our church age doctrine. We get our church age doctrine from Pauline epistles, primarily Romans, but Ephesians, Galatians, Romans, primarily Romans, and some John, you know, John chapter 3, you must be born again. That's church age. And again, people in the Old Testament weren't born again. We're born again. We're put in the body of Christ. The body of Christ wasn't back here. It wasn't up here. It's not up here. It's here. The body's broken on Calvary, so the body's here. The body wasn't broken back here. There was no body back here. Not there was nobody back here, but there was no body of Christ back here. Remember those people, they didn't go to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. And then he let them out. But they weren't part, it was different. They weren't part of the body. These people that he let out of the Old Testament, they're still Jews. The church age Jew and Gentile is gone when you're saved. They're going to come back. A lot of those folks of the Old Testament are going to come back here. We know Moses and Elijah already come back here, Mount Transfiguration. They're going to come back here in the tribulation. Moses and Elijah will be over here, I'm sure, and David will be over here as a prince, while Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is ruling. So when you're looking at Matthew chapter 5, what was Jesus Christ preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's important. It's good news. I mean, the gospel means good news. He's preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's good news. If they'd accepted him as their Messiah, King of Kings, it'd be real good news for them, amen? What's going on in the church age? Church age, Paul's preaching the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. Belief, faith in the blood of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. So the gospel of the kingdom is talking about a literal physical kingdom. The gospel of Paul's gospel, the gospel of church age salvation, is about the blood shed on Calvary, the fact that he died, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again. And if you trust him as your Lord and Savior, realizing you're a sinner with a repentant heart, and you call on him, you're saved. So you can't take this, unless you don't rightly divide, or divide at all. I mean, I just don't understand how you take this way, but or the way they take some of it. But let's read verse 3 again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus was preaching. That's what John the Baptist was talking about. That's, you know, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's not the gospel of salvation in the church age. Look at verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when you're saved in the church age, you are part of a spiritual kingdom called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, see, the kingdom of God says it's not meat or drink. It's a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. Remember we talked about this, where what they call the Lord's Prayer, which isn't really the Lord's Prayer, even though we have one downstairs that says it's the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was about, not my will, but thine be done. That thing where he's preaching, he tells his disciples, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He's telling his disciples, which are Jews, to pray for this kingdom, which is coming here. Right? So that's a literal physical kingdom. So when you're reading these verses, It's obviously talking about a kingdom of heaven. It's not talking about church age. You can't apply this as church age doctrine. Now, this is practical. It's good stuff. Practically and spiritually, you can apply this to us. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's true. God will comfort you. One of these days, you're going to rapture us out of here. We're going to get the comfort we've been needing. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, there's a Jewish. That's Jewish. Because the Jewish are going to get the earth. Not only are they going to get the earth here, with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning, they're getting a new earth. Paul or Peter, I think it's Peter, said they're getting the world. We're not going to be on this earth. It talks about a new Jerusalem as a bride adorned for heaven. It's different for us than them. They're getting an earth. They always had a physical place they were looking for. They weren't looking for heaven. They were always looking for a physical kingdom. And that's what they're going to get. That's what God promised them. And I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. I don't care what Rome says. I don't care what the Southern Baptists say. I don't care what anybody says. What the Bible says is God promised them this kingdom and it's coming. Right there is where it's going to be. 7 years after this, what it looks like to me. 7 years after the rapture, which hopefully we got 29 minutes. Or 24 minutes. 25 minutes. Amen. Hope that clock's wrong. 23 minutes. But, you know, if it happens tonight, it happens tonight. Make sure you're saved. You ain't saved, you better get saved in the next 23 minutes just in case. Amen. Better do it now in case you don't have 23 minutes. But he's going down through these things. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Guess where they're going to see him? All this stuff's talking about the tribulation time, and they're going to see God right here. He's going to be sitting on the throne of David. They're going to have to meet some criteria to get to see him. They're going to have to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and not take the mark and not worship the beast and trust God to take care of them. And he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He's going to save them physically, bring them through the millennial reign, and they're going to see God. That's what this is talking about. And then, okay. Blessed are they which are persecuted, verse 10, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, they're going to be persecuted here. They'll be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing right for the king of righteousness. There's the kingdom of heaven. Talking about folks here, they're going to be here. That's the kingdom of heaven. Southern Baptists, just ball it all together. The Presbyterians, ball it all together, if they believe in any of it. Most churches just ball it all together. And it makes absolutely no sense when you do that. So, let's see. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, we can practically apply that to us. God will bless you. If you're going to take some heat for him, if you're going to die to self and live for him, you're going to take some heat. And if you do, God will bless that. He don't bless it the way Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers or I Promise If I Promise You. He'll do it the way he wants to do it. Yeah. Amen? Very, very seldom does God do it with money. Listen, very seldom does God do it with money. Amen. Because most people won't do what God wants them to do with their money. So he just blesses you in different ways. And you guys could testify. I mean, most people in here could probably testify and give you 100 things that's happened in the last 2 years where God blessed you. And you can probably, don't shake your head or raise your hand, just be calm now. You could probably say, I missed some blessings too, amen. 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 Because of our beatitudes. The beatitudes and our beatitudes. But if you're looking down through there, you have salt of the earth, it's talking about them. You are the light of the world, verse 14, the city that is on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Okay, so this is talking about the Jews. This is really good preaching for here. It's good practical application for the church, but doctrinally it's talking about them. Okay, think not that I am come, verse 17, to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And again, we always think of him fulfilling the law, but he's fulfilling the prophets too. And it's on the internet. We talked about that, I think it was last Wednesday night. We talked about the fact that he didn't just come to fulfill the law, he fulfilled a major majority of the prophecy on Calvary. But he's still fulfilling prophecy. All the stuff that he showed John in Revelation, he's still fulfilling that. For us, we'll see that. We see it through the Word of God, and we'll see it from some of them up here in heaven. But hopefully, 22 minutes. But you read down through here and look at these things. Okay, let's see. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. Now think about this. Have you ever really read that verse and thought about what he just said? Let's read it again. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That was here for anybody that accepts him as Lord and Savior. But it says, while heaven and earth here, the law is still going to be here. The law goes all the way through here. They go back under the law here. It's not exactly the same because he's actually on this earth. But they go back under an Old Testament setting here. And guess what happens? It's all fulfilled here. New heaven and new earth. Remember what's at the end of the millennial reign for folks that do what right by God? Tree of life. Guess what they get to do? It looks like if they do what God says to do and their righteousness is the way God wants it and their faith is the way God wants it, they get to live forever on this earth. Remember the Garden of Eden? It was without law. They had one rule. They didn't have the Old Testament laws. He's regenerating this place to make it like that temporarily for 1,000 years. But the new heaven and new earth is going to be like that. And it's not going to be under a law like that. The law is fulfilled. People will be able to live physically forever. They're still going to have to do things, but it's going to be different. It's going to be different. It's going to be on a regenerated earth. Brand new earth. That's a regenerated earth, getting a new heaven and a new earth. I'm not exactly sure how it all is, and it doesn't matter because God's right. But all I know is he says, till heaven and earth pass away, and then heaven and earth passes away after the white throne judgment time. So if you look down through here and see what he's saying now, again, the same shall be in verse 19. Let's read it. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's 1,000-year reign. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's 1,000-year reign. Then he's talking about righteousness exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. Well, practically, our righteousness does because we have Jesus Christ's righteousness, and he's perfect. He's the perfect righteousness. But spiritually, this is talking about them actually having to be right with God instead of being Pharisaical in that time over there. Then he's just talking about verse 21 and 22. It says, for ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. So they're Old Testament. Thou shalt not kill. Remember that? That's law. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. So we're talking about over here. Judgment and council. How do I know that? Look what it says. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. How about that? How many people do you think would make it to heaven if that was church age?
Right.
Amen. Amen? So get over here, they're going to have to treat each other right. You remember what happened over here? You remember some people, they give Moses some grief. God appointed him as their leader. They give him grief. The ground opened up and swallowed him. Think about that. That made me nervous. I started pastoring. I started calling preachers that I had in the past and apologizing to them for thoughts. Amen. Because I didn't realize the devil slept at the preacher's house on Saturday night until I started pastoring. But I apologize because I criticized some things when I was a young Christian sitting in church. I was like, when I got in their shoes, I'd call them up and say, look, I just want to tell you, I apologize for things you didn't even know about. You know? And you're like, we didn't know we had a problem. Well, you did and I did. And I just want to apologize to make sure God don't open the ground up and swallow me up. Amen. But when you get over here, it's not going to be as merciful. It's going to be down the line, toeing the line. There are going to be people that are literally cast into fire physically in the millennial reign. And it says the brothers and sisters of the Jewish brothers and sisters, if they don't treat each other right over here, they're in danger of hellfire. You read on down through here, and it talks about, it gets into physical immoralities down 25 through 29 or so. And then 29 says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's millennial reign. Look what it says here in verse 30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for these that for thee that if one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's literal. See what that's figured. No, that's literal. It's talking about the millennial reign. It's talking about people that are going to have to choose whether they get rid of the offense or go to hell. Amen? Right now, your offenses can break your fellowship, but it's not going to break your kinship. But see, when you got to be careful and read the Bible. Israel's not God's children. Now, he refers to them in a sense like that because they're everybody's child, but they're his people. We are his children. In John, it says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's talking about church-age people. We are his children. We are adopted in the family of God. We belong to God. These people are people. They're God's people. He chose them so they'd choose him. If they don't choose him, he'll cast them into a lake of fire. And then when you get over here, they're his people. They're not his children. He refers to Israel as his son and things like that. And it talks about the Antichrist persecuting the woman, which is talking about Israel and stuff like that. But they're his people. We're his children. So they're not losing kinship. They're losing fellowship and losing salvation. They're dying and going to hell. Here you lose fellowship and rewards. If you're his child, you're his child. And he's probably thought a couple times, man, I wish I wouldn't have made that deal with him. That's just about me. Y'all can take a break. Amen. But he probably has thought, good night, I can't believe I made them that deal. But when you're looking at these things, you got to go, if my eye offends me, I can go to hell. If my hand offends me, I can go to hell. Well, the Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. It says you're in the Father's hand, nobody can pluck you out. It says you have everlasting life, which lasts forever. So how could that be? That can't be applying to the church age. It applies to folks over here. And a lot of what you're reading here is talking about them living right here so they can get here, and then things they have to do here. It's the constitution of the kingdom. If they don't do right here, they're cast into the lake of fire. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the wording on that, body should be cast into hell. Now remember, this is the earth. They're physically on this earth. And hell, I believe, will be opened up. And they'll be casting people directly into hell. Remember, at the white throne judgment, is no longer hell, because death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, because there's no earth. The earth contains hell. Hell's in the center of the earth. But when the earth's gone, there's no place for hell. So what's he do? He does some kind of God thing and takes hell and throws it into a lake of fire. So hell and the lake of fire are different, but hell goes to a lake of fire. So when you're reading Matthew pre-Calvary, you're looking at an Old Testament setting. When you're reading Matthew chapter 5, God bless them, bless their hearts, those folks down there at the other churches that think that this applies to us, and yet they're not cutting people's hands off and stuff. I don't understand it. I mean, of course, their membership would drop immensely if they started that, you know. And, you know, it's probably wouldn't chop anybody's hands off, because they wouldn't be able to put anything on the plate then. That wouldn't be good. And, you know, I don't know. But when you're looking at the Bible and reading the Bible, you got to rightly divide it and figure out who he's talking to. Now look, when you're looking at this verse, let's say blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. All that stuff. So here they are. Blessed are they mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's good. That practically applies to you. He can talk to you through that. But doctrinally, this is not yours. You're a church-age saint. You're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's definitely talking about this kingdom. Millennial reign. Let's see what else. Anyway, when you're looking in Matthew, look at all these things. That's not for us as doctrinally. But it's all good. You probably heard 100 messages, probably several messages over "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house." Guess what? The house of Israel. So they're lifting up Jesus Christ over here. And if they lift him up, the house of Israel is starting to see the light. That's what he's talking about. But that's great stuff. We can preach that, no problem. You lift up Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. You should be lifting him up. And you don't hide him. I've talked to folks over the years that are saved. They don't go to church. Or they do go to church, and their whole family's lost. You know why? They never lifted the light. They hid it under a bushel. We talked to people. I'm not going to tell you where or point in direction, but there's somebody, Scott and I went and talked to, and his dad's trying to get him in church. And I said, "Is he saved?" He said, "No." Well, something's not right. I'm not saying people can't go astray, but he says to lift that light up and the whole house can see it. Amen? Most people get saved and they go through the motions and they don't really ever witness. So, "Well, I'm going to go to the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to get a crown for not running my lawnmower on Sunday." No, you're not. No, you're not. "I'm going to get a crown for saving the trees." No, you're not. God makes trees. He don't care about them trees. He burns these up and make new ones. Amen? And the new ones are going to be more beautiful than you've ever seen. And if you've been down the mountains and stuff, I mean, good night. That's hard to believe, but God's going to do that. Bob Ross is going to shed a tear when God recreates. Amen? I hope he was saved. I mean, he had such a spirit about him. I believe that God was on him. I hope he was saved. But I don't think his hair was, but anyway. That's pretty neat here. Looking at these verses, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Obviously, we looked at three or four verses where it actually says kingdom of heaven. We know the kingdom of heaven is a literal kingdom. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And, we don't preach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a lot. We really don't. We preach as much, maybe more, out of the Old Testament a lot of times than we do in the New Testament here, because the whole book, spiritually and practically, can apply to us. But doctrinally, if you want to know about your church age doctrine, you're going to get it in the books that Paul wrote. And the book, John 3, from Jesus Christ, you're going to get it in Romans, you're going to get it in Galatians, you're going to get it in Ephesians. And we just don't try to force everything everywhere in the Bible to fit the church age. It can't do it. Because then you have contradictions. It says you're going to lose your salvation for taking the mark of the beast and you're going to go to hell, then you just contradicted your seal to the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption. And if you're gonna worship the beast and lose your salvation, you just contradicted being in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. That means the devil whooped God and plucked you out of his hand. Baloney. It's a different dispensation. And if you don't have dispensations, you don't have the ability to rightly divide. Anyway, I'm not going to talk much more about that tonight. Any questions? Comments? Funny looks about the drawing? I've got those. Anybody? Sister?
Question, a little off topic. What happened to those people? Were they the people that were in paradise that came out of their graves? And is it Matthew when they came out of their graves when the veil was written to and the graves were open and they came and walked through the city? Were they the people from paradise that he brought up?
Yeah, from Abraham's bosom, he raptured them out, raptured them to heaven.
Yeah.
And I believe when John was in Revelation, he was in chapter 5 seeing the people around the throne, he's seen us, and talked about seeing the elders. So he's seen us and Jews up there. Not church-age saints, but church-age saints and Jews. Because remember, there's no Jew or Gentile. So he's seen both up there. And so yeah, they come up, and they got raptured out. Moses and Elijah then come back to Mount Transfiguration. And they come back again here, and they come back probably again here, and then David will be reigning again. A lot of the Old Testament saints will be on the earth again.